Well, we're going to do something a little bit different today, as you can probably see from your bulletins, a different kind of service today. Dave and Gary and myself are each going to take, I think we have 30 to 40 minutes each, a few moments to share. No. Actually, we're having a contest to see who goes the shortest. So, no, I'm kidding. Take a few moments to really share what the Lord has laid on our hearts, interspersed with some short choruses. We want to take the time to sing the focus on Jesus Christ, because he is the reason we are here, and he is the one who has brought us together, not just in salvation, but I believe in this body, this local body of believers. And so it's just something a little bit different today, and I appreciate everyone who is here, as we really remember the anniversary. Anniversary was the first Sunday in August. We met, a handful of us met in the Graham's home and back in 2004 in the first. And then by the first Sunday of September, we were meeting in the building up here in Maple. And so so we feel like any time during the month of August, we can celebrate it. So I was obviously away the first weekend, and I told them to go ahead. I said, Dave and Gary, I said, I don't need to be there for you to celebrate the 12th anniversary, but they were kind in putting it off so I could be a part of this too. So I'm very thankful for that. Personally, I am so thankful for God's grace as he's seen us through 12 years here. And as Pastor Gary was mentioning in his prayer, he's seen us through 12 years, and in that is mountains and valleys and ups and downs. I mean, and that's life. But he is the one who has seen us through. And I've mentioned this in the past, probably every anniversary, but you guys know that statistics show the vast majority of church plants don't last past the first 5 years. Vast majority. And yet here we are 12 years later, thankful to the Lord for what he has done here. And that's what I want to share. I'm so thankful to the Lord and to all who have chosen to make Grace Bible Church a vital part of their lives. There are hundreds of churches in Fresno and Clovis. Hundreds of them. I mean, there really are. Just look in a phone book. And yet, we are here. We are not like any other church that exists in Fresno and Clovis. And I'm not saying that we're better or we're anything else. I'm saying we have a unique purpose here, and God has brought us together and put us here in an effort to bring glory and honor to him and to him alone. And I'm so thankful to every single person who is a part of Grace Bible Church. Turn to Galatians chapter 6 with me. Galatians chapter 6, and we begin reading verse 3. I just want to consider a couple of verses here. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The principle rings clear throughout all of Scripture. We will reap what we sow. I want you to think about that just for a moment this morning that I'm able to share. We will reap what we sow. As those who comprise this local body of believers here at Grace Bible Church, this is true. As a local body, we will reap what we sow. As leaders of Grace Bible Church, this is true. We will reap what we sow. We are all together in this. You know, I mean, I like to phrase it this way. We really are all on the same team. And as God's word puts it, we are all members of the same body. You notice that in this law of sowing and reaping, it has both a positive and a negative side. Back in our text, it says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Never confuse this biblical principle of sowing and reaping with some New Age concept of karma. you've heard it said, what goes around comes around, or this karma idea, this New Age Eastern mysticism. When God speaks of sowing and reaping, he is addressing the reality of true spiritual fruit or lack thereof. He's referring to motive and behavior, what we do and why we're doing it, which is why he talks here in verse 8 about sowing to our flesh or sowing to the Spirit. God is referring to his glory or his displeasure when he talks about this law of sowing and reaping. The focus is on God. The focus is not upon ourselves. So I want to briefly consider a few points from our text this morning. Number one, in the first three verses we read, verses 3-5, as we come to this 12th anniversary, I encourage you, we must not be self-deceived in our life and ministry. Keeping this law, this reality of sowing and reaping in mind, in the context here, we find that we must not be self-deceived in our life and in our ministry. We need to have a proper view of ourselves and what we're doing here. This is true of the leadership, and it's true of those who are a part of this body of believers. We have to have a proper view of ourselves and what we're doing here. We need to make sure that we are here ministering for the Lord to others and not for our own praise or fame or comfort. We have to keep this before us. Why are we doing what we're doing? Both as the leadership of a church and all of us who come here and go out into the world. Why are we doing what we're doing here at Grace Bible Church? For what purpose? There is no room here for self-praise. There is no room here for an attempt to build an empire or even maintain a status quo of comfort when we have to continue to do much for God's glory with the time that he's given to us here. It's easy to fall into one of two extremes and deceive ourselves in thinking we're okay. In either trying to build something or build ourselves up or build our church up to make it look more popular or prestigious or great or whatever it might be, or go to the other extreme and just say, hey, we're fine here. You know, the status quo, it's fine. Just kind of, you know, doing nothing. We'll just kind of keep. Both of those extremes are wrong. We need to continue to do much for God's glory. I want to share a sad fact in relation to these first three verses, 3, 4, 5. The vast majority of people who leave any church, I'm not just talking about Grace Bible Church, although it's true here too. The vast majority of people who leave any church do so because they feel hurt or they feel offended. Or they are not having their needs met, or they are not content with where God has put them. Do you see a pattern there? The focus is always on them, not on God and not on his body. The focus is always on him. We need to get over ourselves, and we must not be deceived into thinking life or church or work or anything is all about us. And God knows that's very possible for us to do that. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. It's not about us. It's not about us here. Don't deceive yourself, and we must not deceive ourselves into thinking it's about us. It's not. We must understand all life is all about God and finding contentment where he's put us and what he's done for us. It's about him. It's about his body. Everything we do in our lives must center around the praise and glory of God, not the praise and glory of self. Don't be self-deceived. Number two, the second thing, we must give of what God has entrusted to us. We find that in verses 6 and 10 of our text. You see, the purpose of this body, or I shouldn't say the purpose, part of what makes this body work, the local representation here of the church, the body of Christ, is that we give to one another for the edification of one another. We all give to the work of the Lord. Leadership and people who alike, we give of our money, we give of our time, we give of our talent. And those who teach the word give healthy spiritual food to those who are part of the body of Christ. This is what we do here. Both aspects need to be understood. How many times have you heard a message preached from Galatians 6? Let him that is taught in the word communicate. That word means give of our financial things. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And verse 10, as we receive therefore opportunity, let us do good. Give. You need to be giving more to your church. I mean, I've heard that preached many a time, where the other side of that is completely neglected. It goes both ways. We all give to the work of the Lord, and those of us who teach here at Grace Bible Church give spiritual food to those who are part of the body of Christ. Notice verse 6 again. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. It's a two-way street. We give to one another for the edification of the body of Christ. Both aspects need to be understood. This isn't compulsory giving, but it's a loving exchange of physical and spiritual food for the good of all. And we have a church of people who I know understand that. And I appreciate that here about Grace Bible Church. We've never passed a plate. We've never taken an offering. Never told anybody that, you know, you got to give, or, you know, you really should especially give some to the pastors for themselves. I have a story about that in just a second. But God has always met our needs over and above and beyond. Always. One of the things that we do is what every church growth person would tell you never to do. Don't just put a box in the back and let people give their offerings that way. They won't do it. We've proven that wrong for 12 years. Because we have people who understand this, that it's a two-way exchange of giving to one another for the edification of the body. I'll never forget, and Mrs. Riddle isn't here, so I won't embarrass her or anything, but I'll never forget Tom Riddle a couple years ago coming up to me when I'm playing the piano and giving me a card with some cash in it. I'm like, you know, that's so nice of you. You don't need to do that. No, the word tells us to do that, doesn't he? Nobody told him to do that. We've never preached here, you know, give some to the pastors on the side, you know. And I'm joking about this, but in all seriousness, nobody's ever done anything in my life for me like that. And yet here was a man who understood, and I'm not saying this to anybody do it. I'm using him as an example of one who's no longer with us, because I want to remember who he is and what kind of person he was. A person who understood, we give. He says, you know, you give spiritual food. We want to help. Anyway, we must give of what God has entrusted to us. Everything we possess is simply entrusted to us by God himself. And God wants us to imitate his son, Jesus Christ, in being giving people. That's what he desires. We give of our finances to meet the material needs of God's work. We give of our time to come together and grow spiritually. And we give of our gifts to edify or build up one another. There's no room for selfishness or self-centeredness here. I love it. And the third thing, not only must we not be self-deceived in our life and ministry, not only must we give of what God has entrusted to us, but finally, we must not grow tired of doing the right thing, even though it's wearisome and tiresome at times. Verses 7, 8, and 9. Tell us this. You know, if you want to be cool and accepted by many more people in the world, then seriously, you can go to a cool or a happening church. I mean, you can. If you want to be equipped to do the work of the ministry by better knowing God and his word and his will, then keep pressing on in this body, even though life always won't be easy. That's just the truth of the situation. That's why we read here to not sow to the flesh. That is just what we want, our own desires. Let us not be weary in well-doing, verse 9. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. We all have much to sow. We have our time, our finances, our talents, our abilities, and yet we need to remember that God knows what we're sowing and why we're sowing. He knows. I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. God knows all of our hearts, everybody here. For 12 years, we all have sought to sow fruit for God's glory. And yet 12 years is nothing in the sight of an eternal God. Really, think about it. We need to keep on keeping on, not quitting, not giving up or giving in as we seek to glorify the Lord. Keep in mind, if we sow of our time and our talents and our abilities out of a motivation of love for God and others, we will reap spiritual fruit. However, if we are doing all this just for the flesh, for the praise of men or for our own comfort, we will reap what God calls corruption. So I want to sow nothing but good seed for the glory of God, the gospel to the lost, and the milk and meat of the word to those of you here who know Jesus Christ as your Savior and want to grow in him. To those of you who are here, to those of you who are dedicated to being a part of this local body, I am dedicated to you and seeing you grow. And I know Gary and Dave feel the exact same way. If we truly believe God's promises are true, we will be people who sow to the Spirit in order to reap everlasting fruit. everlasting fruit. Let's keep it up until Christ comes. It may be difficult now. We'll have road bumps and difficulties, but God is the one who has enabled us to do this for 12 years so far, and he will continue to enable us to do this as long as we're doing it for him and not for ourselves or anybody else. And that's a fact.
It's always a good thing to do to take time out to reflect upon what God has done for you. And as we celebrate the anniversary, it's a celebration of an assembly of people, the church, the ecclesia, the called out assembly. And I am so thankful to be a part of Grace Bible Church. And again, it's not the buildings, it's not the finances, it's the people. This is a God-ordained institution. The local church is his plan. It's his idea. God works through his church. He uses it to represent himself. He uses it to shine his lights for him. And he has given this local assembly to magnify him. I am so thankful, again, that not proud, but thankful and excited that we get this opportunity. I'd like us to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to go through verses, look at verses 12 through 17. Verses 12 through 17. And we'll start in verse 12. It says, Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, see also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are all called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. As we were last night, I was talking to my family, and this morning I was talking to my family. I want you to remember four words. Well, it's three words, but one's repeated. Put, let, and do. Put, let, and do. Verses 12 through 14 tell us to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels. And then it gives us a list of characteristics. These are an expectation of the characteristics that we are to have as believers. We're to be merciful, kind, humble of mind, meek, long-suffering, putting up with one another, as I like to phrase it. And when we mess up, forgiving one another and moving on. As I said, these are all characteristics of care and concern for others. This is what Christ expects of us. How we think about others and ourselves, it starts in our heart as individuals. How we're going to represent his church. As I said, we're individuals, but what's in our heart is going to come out. It's all under the thought of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the reason that we gather. He is the reason we are bound together. I love that we have this bond together. We all come together. There's so many people of different origins and so many people of different thoughts and philosophies and as we were growing up, but we all come together as one under Christ and what he has done for us. The bond is the completeness of everything that we've learned from Christ. Everything that is in God's word, that's what we unify under. You know, this is our goal, to be unified. I'm amazed at how much in God's word it talks about in the New Testament about being unified. That we do have the same bond. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is our goal, is to magnify God, first of all, but in doing so and having of the same mind, we are unified together. We are bound together. This is fulfilled by individuals yielding to the Holy Spirit who helps us to be unified. We can't do it on our own. We know that. But we need the Holy Spirit to help us. We are all to be striving on under one accord. To honor and please God is our goal. We are the church, the called out assembly. And this is of God. And we need to be mindful of that. How we act, what we believe, how we interact with each other is extremely important. So we need to put on these characteristics through the help of the Holy Spirit. But also we are to let the peace of God rule in your heart. In verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. As we just talked several weeks ago, we were talking about in America right now, there's a lot of things going on. And there's not a lot of civility, and there's not a lot of graciousness how we're dealing with each other. We must not reflect that in the church. We must let people know that we are following after a true God, that He is our peace, that His word is what gives us that peace. See, we have to have a quiet in our heart to understand, to the very core of who we are. We need to, by faith, trust this. We need to have an understanding of God's word and of the great God in it, and embrace it and desire to study, to know more, to have a strong relationship with Christ, to be faithful no matter what comes, both individually and collectively as a church. That is what we strive for. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. We can't be divisive. We can't be wishy-washy. We have to have individually peace with who God is and what He's done for us, and live our lives out in such a way. So let the peace of God rule in your heart. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. He uses the local church to teach and guide people, His people. The importance of God's word is extremely high here at Grace Bible Church. I don't think we can know God or serve Him in any way if we don't put an emphasis on His word. How would we know what to do? We must all strive to learn more about our Savior. We do the best that we can to feed the flock. But the other thing is you can come and be fed, but you also need to study on your own. I pray that you're in the scriptures daily, in Acts chapter 17, and they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I pray that you are doing that individually. It only strengthens us as a body of Christ. I am so thankful for that. I pray that we stay founded in God's word, to search the scriptures daily, to not become bored with God's word or God's people. It needs to be a part of us, a yearning. Sometimes we all go through phases like, yeah, I know that, or I've heard that before, or I already know what they're going to say, so I'm just going to turn it off. But we need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Soak it in. Dwell in you. Become part of who you are. It's important that we do that. And it's rich. It's full of goodness and graciousness and mercy and kindness. All of those characteristics that we're supposed to be following after. I'm just challenging us to stay grounded in this word. And the last one is do. Verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Do all to the glory of God. That's our goal. Everything that we do every day should be done to the glory of God. I don't care how menial the task, how unimportant it seems, that we do it all to glorify God. As we continue to strive to grow spiritually and, if Lord wills, numerically, I pray that we would strive lawfully to stay on track, to keep doing what's right, to be faithful, to keep, and sometimes it feels like a grind. It's not exciting. No, the excitement comes through Christ and what he did and what is in his word. It's not the excitement from us. That should be our focus, is to glorify God. I personally believe that Grace Bible Church is a great church. I really do. And I've been to many different churches. I'm not here to brag on us. I'm not here to say how great we are, to lift us up, and we're better than other churches. We're better than other people. We're better than other Christians. That's not why we're here. The reason I'm bringing up is there was twice in this passage of Scripture that I left out on purpose. In verse 15, it said, "Be ye thankful. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful." I am thankful for this local assembly. And that doesn't mean just as a group, which I am thankful for, is how we can shine, but for each individual. I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for your fellowship. Thank you for the encouragement that you give us. You guys teach us on a daily basis. I love going and hearing how the Lord's working in your mind. It's an encouragement to me personally and an encouragement to my family. We've had many spiritual blessings here. I know even myself, I have grown tremendously since I started coming here. I know that Matt and Gary feel the same way. I talk to you, the growth that we have, spiritual blessings. We've seen people come to the Lord. We've seen people baptized. We've seen a change and give us facilities. And I want to be an encouragement to you. We've seen physical blessings with the church building, financial buildings. We get to support two missionaries. Well, we need to just keep on going. You're a very generous church. I appreciate, I didn't know if Matt was going to mention this or not, and I don't even know if I should, but I'm going to do it anyway. Pastor Stringer was so encouraged by how many books you guys bought. And Pastor Matt said, yes, they're readers. We're all readers. We strive to do these things. And again, we shouldn't be prideful in that, but we're proud to be a part of this, not because of this great thing that you are. But again, it's an encouragement to other people when speakers come in that we are that we help financially. Be thankful. Be thankful for those things that we have. The other thing is verse 17, and I'm going to end with this, is give thanks to God. Give thanks to him in verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We need to give thanks to God for everything. This is the point. He has done everything, and we are his people, and we need to be grateful for that. I see this desire in the people of Grace Bible Church. I see that's what you want. I love that. I am thankful to be here, to grow and learn in fellowship, to encourage. And I want you to know us three are your biggest cheerleaders. We want you to grow and thrive and enjoy your life with Christ. And we want to be of help. Let's continue until the Lord comes back. Let's strive together to be everything that God wants us to be and do. Faithful. Faithful. Hebrews 12:2, this is in my how I'm going to end it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's all about Christ.
I want to echo the expressions of gratitude for each and every one of you. The Apostle Paul often wrote, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you," and that is true. I echo also the expressions of my sentiments about this Grace Bible Church being a great church. It is a great church. You are a great church. I was thinking about a number of things as Matt and Dave were preaching, and I thought, you know, so many people think the grass is always greener somewhere else. It's always better on the other side of the fence. I remember one occasion when we were in our previous ministry, a young man came and visited our church, and one of our church members took him out to lunch, and the young man listed off 15 problems with our church ministry that he observed that Sunday morning. And then our man came to me, and he told me about them. And I said, well, you didn't say anything to defend our ministry at all? Well, no, because I agree with him. I think those are... Blood, please don't boil, you know. There's no perfect church. There's always room for improvement. But that's the nature of life. It's the nature of ministry. That's what we call Christian growth. This morning, I want to focus on... My wife got on to me because I had six keys to Christian commitment that I see in the early church and I see are necessary for us. And as I was sitting there before Sunday school this morning, I came up with number 7. And that's what my wife said, oh boy. You know, how can we be content? Not complacent, but how can we be content? And I think there are 6 key commitments that we have to have. Number 1 is evangelism. I think that Matthew 28, go therefore and preach the gospel. Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I think it's fascinating that evangelism is something that is never commanded. It's always assumed that Christians will do. Christians will be witnesses. Christians are witnesses. Christians are proclaimers. Christians are heralds. We have the greatest message in the world. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You can be a Christian. You can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ right now if you will trust Him as your Savior. That's wonderful news. That's great news. We need to be committed to that. We can tell sinners. If someone asks you, what can I do to inherit, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What would you say? What must I do to be saved? Like the Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? What would you say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in Christ. We have to be committed to evangelism. Secondly, we have to be committed to education. And the result of education is equipping, for the equipping of the saints. 2 Timothy 2:2 tells us, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I mean, we are committed. Dave mentioned this. We're committed to seeing you grow. We want to see you grow. I want to see our young people far surpass what I've been able to accomplish in life. I want that for them. I want the young people to, I want you to grow, to faithfully and effectively serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way you do that is by coming to know God. Jesus prayed in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We are committed to helping and equipping people to know God. It is possible to know God in this life. It really is. Third is the key of edification, building up. Ephesians 4, we are here to build up the believers. We are here to build you up. The word build up is just the exact opposite of tear down. Isn't that interesting? We're not here to destroy people. We're not here to undermine and manipulate. We're here to solidify, to enhance the lives of others. Why? Matt mentioned this. All these ideas floating around out there. What are these ideas doing to people? They are tossing them around. They are every wind of doctrine that comes along, it's just blowing people all over the place. I mean, people, are you amazed at some of the ideas that people have today? I mean, really, I've talked to people, and it's hard to keep a straight face. And I think, you really don't believe that. I mean, I'm thinking in my mind, you really don't believe, but this person is just passionate about what they believe. And it's absolute nonsense. And you're just biting your lip saying, Lord, just please don't let me laugh in this person. I don't want to offend this person. But, you know, we were, for instance, we were put here by space aliens. They planted this planet and put us here, and we're offspring of space aliens. Are you kidding? People are serious about that stuff. I mean, how can we equip you? How can we edify you so that you're built up and you're not tossed around by that nonsense? I think number four is the key of encouragement. And I'm determined. I appreciated what Dave said. I want to be a cheerleader in this sense. I'm not here to criticize people in a condemnatory way. I'm not going to scorn people. I'm not going to put contempt on people. I'm not going to tell another person, you know, you are a huge disappointment to me. I don't know what it was like when you were growing up. But I had a lot of so-called friends in high school that, I mean, they did everything they could. Because I was part of it too. We did everything we could to tear each other down, to manipulate people, to manipulate our friends against our friends. You know what? We're here to be a blessing at Grace Bible Church. We're here to be a blessing to others, especially as we gather together. We're here to lift up the hands of those who are weak. We're here to comfort those who mourn. We're to weep with those who weep, and so on. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice. We're to demonstrate a sympathy for those among us who struggle. Why? Because misery loves company. No. Because we want you to know there is a way out. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope. And that hope is in God and in His Word. I want people to know. I want them to know that I'm here to be a blessing. You know, I'm going to ask you, when I ask people, how are you doing? And they tell me, oh, I'm fine. But their face tells me, no, I'm really struggling with something right now. I want you to know, I'm here to help, to listen. What can I do to help? How can I pray for you? Tell me what the Lord is doing in your life. I'm not going to chew out people. I'm not going to tell anybody what a huge disappointment they are, because they're not. They're not. Nobody is a disappointment. It is such an encouragement and such a blessing and such a thrill to have you as part of Grace Bible Church, and I mean that. I want to do whatever I can to uplift in a positive way. Now, obviously, there are exceptions. I mean, if someone is involved in sin, like 1 Corinthians 5 tells us, you know, I'm not going to applaud you, okay? That's not going to happen. We'll confront you in love. The fifth key is exhortation. Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. The word beseech means I exhort. I exhort, I give urgent counsel, I admonish you. The Greek word means it's because of something that is true, that instruction has been given based on what Paul had said in Romans 1 through 11. Based on all of that, he says, I exhort you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, be obedient. Obey. Exhortation is an important element. The sixth key is endurance. Endurance. Life isn't easy. And we're going to learn from Ecclesiastes in Sunday school. Life under the sun certainly isn't easy. We have to endure. Paul got to the end of 1 Corinthians at the end of the 15th chapter, and he admonishes them, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. It's not soap bubbles. It's not a puff of smoke. It's not emptiness. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus, as the hymn writer put it. I can't put it any better. We have to endure. We have to maintain our commitment to the truth of God's word, regardless of the pressures that come to capitulate. And they do. They do all the time. We have to speak the truth in love, but we speak the truth. I was reading through 2 John this week, and it just 2 John and 3 John both just really, really resonate with me in recent days. The Apostle John, writing at the end of his life, just prior to penning the book of Revelation, he writes these encouraging letters. And he says in the second epistle, he says, verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. The truth abides forever. Endure in it. We walk in the truth. What truth? The truth as we have it revealed in God's word. And then the last key, the key of exaltation. This is something the early church did spectacularly in my book. They exalted Jesus Christ. I'm always struck by the ministry, and this particular event did not occur in the church age. It was just prior to the church age. But when John the Baptist is preaching, and some leaders come to him and they ask him about his position, his relationship with Christ, and he says in John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease. Because I'm the friend of the bridegroom. I'm not the bridegroom. This is going to be all about the bridegroom. This is for the bride. I'm here for the bridegroom. He's the bridegroom. I'm the friend. And he made it all about Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Colossians 1:18 tells us that in all things he might have the preeminence. You know what the word preeminence means? First place, priority. He is the important one, not us. It's not about us. He is the sole focus of our ministry. We make everything about him. You know, and in a limited way, we're to exalt others. And I mean by that, we're to encourage others. I really want our youth to succeed, to exceed what we've been able to do in life and ministry. You know, I'm approaching in a couple of months, I'll be another year older. I am not happy about it. My eyes are going bad. Yesterday, when we were in the men's Bible study, as Dave was winding up, he was praying, Matt got up. And I thought, wow, that's something. The reason Matt got up was because the alarm went off. I didn't hear it. My eyes are bad. My hearing's bad. You get older. But Grace Bible Church is still going to continue long after I'm gone, unless Jesus comes. I want these commitments. I want these keys to be a real part of our ministry here. I want them to be, you know, I want them to last. Evangelism, education, edification, encouragement, exhortation, endurance, and exaltation. You know, if we commit to these, and you can think of others. I mean, I just sat down and I was thinking about these as I walked through the early church. You can think about these. You can think about a lot of others. Making these a priority in your life. You know what will happen? It'll fix a lot of the problems that you have, because it'll get your focus off of yourself and onto where your focus needs to be, on the Lord and on others. I'm praying, if I'm witnessing, if I'm reading my Bible, if I'm implementing what I learn in reading and in the messages that I'm hearing from the pulpit, you know what? I really don't have time to get caught up in the doldrums and the discouragements and the disappointments of life. As the hymn writer put it, life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Father, thank you for our time together this morning, and thank you for the wonderful opportunity we have to celebrate this 12th anniversary of Grace Bible Church. May it be an encouragement to everybody that we have more years ahead of us. And I firmly believe that we have great years ahead of us if your son does not come back. Even if he does, that'll be great for us. But while you give us ministry on this earth, here and now, help us to be faithful, help us to be fervent, help us to be fruitful in all that we say and do, in all that we are, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name and through his mighty blood we pray. Amen.